Father, we come before you and we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, as we look at this referencing to chapter 32, Patrick's lesson, The Arrogance of Stupid. And Father, I just pray that you would speak to us through it, Lord, with what you have laid on my heart to share. We love you, God, and we thank you, and we just lift this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to take this out of 2 Peter chapter 2, and I'm only going to look at two verses, verses 15 and 16. I titled this, Knowing Right, But Deliberately Choosing Wrong. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verses 12 and 13, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved." Now we know the world is filled with immorality, but here's what I find so troubling. Believers are leaving that place of being separated from the world. I mean, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. You have to ask, why would a person who is a believer ever want to compromise with and in the world? Well, I can tell you why. Because they love the world and the things of the world more than God and the things of God. You can easily see our society is filled with lawlessness, the very sin that led to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah by God. People can outwardly appear to serve God and minister to people, but inwardly, they're feeding their own bellies. They're thinking of themselves. In verse 15, Peter says they have forsaken their right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. The story of Balaam is found in Numbers chapters 22 to 25. And I had to ask the question, what is the way of Balaam? Peter says he's the son of Beor who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Balaam was a Gentile prophet who tried to curse the Jews. Balak, the king of the Moabites, was afraid of Israel. So he went to Balaam and he asked him for help to curse the Jews. Balaam knew it was wrong to go with Balak. But his heart was filled with covetousness. He wanted the money and honor that Balak had the power to give him. You see, Balaam knew God's truth. He knew God's will. And yet, he deliberately forsook the right way and went after his own desires. Here we're living in the latter of the last days. I mean, literally moments before Christ returns for his church, and compared with the last 2,000 years of the church age. And yet, how many people do we know who have left the right way and they're just out there doing what they want to do? Here God had told Balaam from the beginning not to help Balak. Well, at first it seemed like Balaam was obeying God. He actually sent the first messengers home back to Balak. But the temptation got tougher when Balak sent more princes and promised more money and honor. I mean, Balaam prayed about it again, only to reconsider what he could gain over it. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation, will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." You see, the second time God was testing Balaam, God allowed him to go with the princes, even though it wasn't God's perfect will. It was God's permissive will. Why was it God's permissive will? What does that mean? God wanted to see what Balaam would do. I mean, God knew what he'd do. He wanted Balaam to see what he would do. God will allow us at times to be in his permissive will only to test us. it shows us if we'll do what is right, or if we'll just do what we think is right and just do it. Here's where God intervened. When Balaam started to stray from God's perfect will, that's when God rebuked him through his donkey. God allowed Balaam to set up his altars. God allowed him to offer his sacrifices. But in the scriptures, God would not allow him to curse Israel. Instead, God turned Balaam's curse into a blessing. Balaam wasn't able to curse Israel. So what does he do? Here's where he goes off the deep end. He tells Balak how to defeat Israel. He told him all the Moabites have to do is to invite the Jews to be friends with them and share in their feast. So instead of being a separated people to God, as God commanded, of course, in his law, Israel compromised. They got involved in the pagan practices of the Moabites. Well, God had to discipline the people over it. It cost thousands of them their lives. At this point, it literally made Balaam responsible for their deaths. Balaam's apostasy, Peter is speaking about, is that of sensual lust and covetousness. You know, here was a guy who got messages from God. God spoke to him, even though he was a Gentile. And yet, we find him leading the people away from God. Here's what really blows me away. I mean, this leaves me dumbfounded. Even though Balaam said, "I have sinned," in Numbers 22, verse 34, God knew, even then, that Balaam's heart wasn't sincere. Here's what I find more fascinating. In Numbers 23, verse 10, Balaam prayed, "Let me die the death of the righteous." He saw that God would not let him curse the Jewish people those four times when he had Balak set up an altar. But he didn't want to live the life of the righteous. Well, you can guess what happened. Because Balaam counseled Balak to seduce the people of Israel, God judged Balaam. We have the account in Numbers 31, verse 8. Listen to this. "They, the children of Israel, killed the kings of Midian with the rest of those who were killed. Evi, Rechem, Zur, Hur, and Reba, the five kings of Midian. Balaam, the son of Beor, they also killed with the sword." You know, when all was said and done, Balaam ended up dying the death of the wicked. Peter calls it the wages of unrighteousness. You know, just like so many today, Balaam knew the right way. He knew what he needed to do. And I can tell you from my own personal experience, because I've been there and did this movie. In his heart, he knew he was doing something he shouldn't do. Balaam knew that. But he deliberately chose to go the other way. I mean, it was all about honor. It was all about the bucks. What happened is Balaam got sloppy with the things of God. I mean, the guy was literally playing around with God's will. He knew he should never have gone and prophesied against Israel. But he loved the price being offered to him. I have to keep myself in check many times when it comes to things like this. I have to make sure I'm making a stand on God and what he's leading me through his spirit. Balaam was more concerned about himself than what God had for him. The way of Balaam speaks of a covetous person who does religious work for personal gain. You see, I mean, it comes down to this. God created in man a thirst for God. God put that there, even though people try to satisfy this thirst in other ways. And what happens is they only end up living on substitutes. I've seen it forever in the church. Freedom doesn't mean doing your own thing or having it your way. I mean, that kind of attitude is the very essence of sin. The only place you can have it your way is at Burger King. That's it. Proverbs 26, verses 10 to 12. The great God who formed everything gives the fool his hire and the transgressor his wages. As a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Jude gives us five means of identifying these kinds of people. Five means. First, they're grumblers. That means murmuring against God under your voice. Secondly, they're complainers. They complain about everything in life and are never satisfied. If they recognize God at all, it's only to blame him for everything that's happened to them. Third, they walk according to their own lusts. Their desires are things that leave God out of the picture. And because of that, their heart is never content because God had put a place there in their hearts for him. Fourth, they mouth great swelling words. They're arrogant. They use great words in their speaking to try and impress people. And then fifth, they flatter people to gain advantage. They go out of their way for certain people just to get what they want from them. They will even say things that aren't true. Why would they do that? Because they're looking to men to promote and exalt them for what they want to achieve and gain for themselves. People don't look to God, aren't concerned of what God might think about them. They're more concerned about what they can try to gain. I want to close with what Peter said in 1 Peter 2, verses 15 and 16. He said, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God." The only way that we can get in the mode and a disciplinary act of doing what's right is to continually be reminded to let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us. I have to do this all day long. I mean, I feel a little ashamed to say that because I know a lot. I'm still scratching the surface of the book, but I know a lot. And I can find myself starting to stray. I can find myself starting to think in other areas and start leaving God out of the picture. And it always, always has come back to bite me. Always. And so, referencing chapter 32, knowing right but deliberately doing wrong. I mean, the arrogance of stupidity. We need to keep ourselves in check. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the things you continue to teach us, Lord, especially this little story about Balaam, because every person on the face of this planet can relate to that. We've been there many times, and Lord, we just ask you for forgiveness and that you would lead us and guide us continually, Father, because you're the one that's laying out and paving the road for us as you lead us by your Spirit. Father, we love you. This is a brand new year, and we're praying that you go before us in a powerful way and that you would reveal your perfect will for us. Please don't let us get in your permissive will. I know that's a time of testing where you allow us to be tested to show us where we're at when something like this happens. God, we want to be in your perfect will. So go before us. Bless the rest of this time and this week. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.